Award-winning coverage lives right here on WMUL-FM Huntington, WFGH-FM Fort Gay, and WTHMLP Ravenswood, West Virginia.
I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
Welcome to Speed Zone, the best motorsports show on radio. I'm your host, Ben Cower, and across the next hour, we'll recap everything. Yes, everything in racing that happened in the last week. We'll discuss the latest news and occasionally even have a star-studded interview. So buckle up, rev your motor, and drop the hammer, because this is Speed Zone. And welcome to Speed Zone. I'm your host, Ben Cower. Thanks for tuning in. We got a great show for you tonight. Again, lots to talk about during the upcoming Flag to Flag segment, because there was a lot that happened in the world of motorsports this weekend and past week. Per usual, should be surprising. And then again, the schedule upcoming this week, we'll talk about in the What's Up This Week segment of the show, because we got a lot happening this weekend too, locally and all around the country and the world. Also, a lot to be talking about on the Racing Roundtable segment of the show. Lots happening in the world of racing this week. We'll be talking about a lot of things happening in NASCAR as it was at Dover. Also, the David Malukas situation in the world of IndyCar. That was a confusing one. We'll be chatting about it alongside lots going on in the world of charters and a little bit of a review this season of the NASCAR Cup Series. But enough of that. Let's dive right in to Flag to Flag. Welcome to Flag, a recap of the week that was in motorsports, as Ben Cower covers everything you might have missed in this past week of racing action. And yeah, there was a lot that happened. So let's go over again. We had Ona Speedway action. We got the World of Outlaws, the High Limit Racing Series, ARCA, Xfinity Cup Series for NASCAR, the ASA Southern Super Series, the JEGS CRA All-Stars Tour, the American Canadian Tour, and IndyCar. Let's dive right into it. Beginning with the ARCA Menard Series at Dover Motor Speedway for the General Tire 150. That was last Friday. The winner was Connor Zilich, his first ever win in ARCA. Top five for that event. Zilich in first, Gio Ruggiero in second place, Carson Kvaal in P3, LeVar Scott fourth, and Andres Perez rounded out the top five. Again, Zilich made some contact with William Sawalich while racing for the lead. Sawalich wrecked out of the race in the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing. He was not happy with Zilich after that wreck, but Zilich went on to win, also earned his first Cars Tour victory with Pinnacle Racing Group, the team he's racing for, at Hickory Motor Speedway in April in his first ever Cars Tour race. Kvaal had some damage, also nailed the pit sign to the side of the car for some replacement sheet metal. How about that? You know what? You make it work in ARCA, and he came back to finish P3. Now on to the ASA Southern Super Series at Five Flags Speedway, Pensacola, Florida on Friday, and also Mobile International Speedway on Saturday for the Gulf Coast doubleheader. Race number one at Five Flags on Friday, for the Super Late Model 100. The winner, Stephen Nassi. Nassi, your winner. Casey Roderick in second place. Dawson Sutton rounded out the top three. Nassi's first victory, the family team this season. Not racing this race for Anthony Campy. Race number two, the battle on the Bayou 100. The winner, Cole Butcher at Mobile on Saturday night. Jake Finch in second by just a hair. And Michael Hind in third. Again, Butcher beat Finch. Photo finish for the ages. Again, winning the race by a margin of 0.002 of a second. Butcher also won the race in a backup car. How about that? Again, Cole Butcher, your winner. And the second half of the Gulf Coast doubleheader. Now on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Again, at Dover Motor Speedway for the Bet Rivers 200 on Saturday. And it was Ryan Truex, his second career win and second consecutive win, 2 years in a row, at Dover in the Xfinity Series. Truex, their winner. Carson Kvaal in second place. Two top fives to open up his Xfinity Series career. Sam Mayer in third. Another good run for the driver of the number one machine for Junior Motorsports. Sheldon Creed, strong fourth place finish. And Cole Custer, Stuart Haas, rounding out the top five. Again, the hometown hero winning again. Ryan Truex, this time double overtime, led only the last two laps of the race. It was Austin Hill crashing while racing for the win. Sheldon Creed comes up short again after a great performance. And our Motorsports' Anthony Alfredo, small team, finishing ninth in the race, capturing the final Dash for Cash $100,000 prize of the season awarded by Xfinity, the title sponsor of the Xfinity Series, beating Riley Herbst, Jesse Love, and Ryan Sieg for that award. Sieg won it last week at Dagen. Now on to the JEGS CRA All-Stars Tour at Berlin Raceway for the West Michigan 100 on Saturday. The winner, Blake Rowe. Rowe, your winner. Again, Andrew Scheid in second place. Brian Campbell rounding out the podium of that race. Rowe wins
wins 5K after a close battle with Campbell, who finished third, trading paint and banging doors in the final 50 laps of the event. Both drivers hung on for good finishes, even with a massive tire rub for Campbell. But again, Blake Rowe, your winner, the Jake CRA All-Stars Tour at Berlin. Ona Speedway for the Mountaineer 100 on Saturday. Again, race number one, the 316 Motorsports Legend Car Semi-Pros. Jay Dunlap was your winner after a chaotic race. Nate Dunlap, his nephew in second. Kenny McComas, who won the first race of the season in P3. Race number two, the all-seasons Power Sports Late Models. Jay Keaton has led 55 of 55 laps this season. Another dominant performance from Keaton in the late models. Tyler Johnson, all the way from Mooresville, North Carolina. Son of Jarek Johnson, a former racer in the Busch Series, he finished P2. Carson Lucas finished P3 in that strong gray number 88 machine brought to you by Lucas Oil. Podium of race number three for the LG Pressure Washing Modifieds racing in the Mountaineer 100, the big one. Brian Nestor tying Matt Dimmitt for the record third Mountaineer 100 win of his career. Matt Dimmitt in second place, had to settle for second this time after winning it in 2023. Buddy Gray rounded out the podium of the Mountaineer 100 this year after 50 laps, and the other 50 laps going to the Honda Majestic Street Stocks in the fourth race of the evening. And it was Marty Powers, now tied for the points lead with Kenny Chapman, who finished second in the race, runner-up to Powers, who was so dominant. Scooted past Chapman after the first stage of the race. Then Tommy Rowe rounding out the top three, another chaotic race for the Street Stocks. So entertaining, and Marty Powers comes out on top. Race number five, again, the 316 Motorsports Legend Car Pros, and it was Jason Garrett, his fourth win in a row. And the Legend Pros, Jason Garrett so fast in that number 71 machine, his good friend Jake Keaton in second place. Tyler Martin rounding out the top three once again. Race number six of the night, the Contempo Trophy and Awards U-Cars. Nick Fowler, his first win since 2022 in incredible style. Blew the motor coming off of turn number four, almost a drag race with Jay Workman, who was on his bumper just about the entire race. Workman was making Nick Fowler work that win in, and Nick Fowler comes out on top, but he's going to need a little, is going to need a little R&R over this upcoming week. Keith Watson, the 13-time champion at Ona in P3 for the Contempo Trophy and Awards U-Cars. Race number seven, finally the debut of the Brody Nash Century 21 Crown Vicks. And it was J.R. Adkins in an absolute slugfest of a duel with Jamie Womack side-by-side for more than half the 20-lap feature. Adkins comes out on top by a nose in the Crown Vicks. Womack in second and Shane McClain in P3. The American Canadian Tour at Oxford Plains Speedway for the ACT Pine Tree State 125 is now on Sunday. And the winner was Jesse Switzer after the race was ended due to the weather on lap 65 of 125. Again, the podium of that race, Switzer, your winner, Gabe Brown in second, Jonathan Bouvret in P3. All three had spoiled runs in the Tour's first event of the year at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. All three found redemption under a gray sky at Oxford Plains Speedway this past Sunday. Again, Switzer, your winner. The NTT IndyCar Series at the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix at Barber's Motorsports Park. That's a long one. In Alabama, and it was Scott McLaughlin. First win of the year for McLaughlin, and second consecutive win at Barber in consecutive years for Scotty. Good redemption for Penske. Again, McLaughlin, your winner. Will Power, his teammate for Penske in P2. And Linus Lundqvist for Ganassi. Strong run for the rookie. Was certainly up there. Earns the first podium of his young IndyCar career. And after a tough week for Penske, it's able to find some redemption as an organization. Swept the top two positions of the race. Great race. Crazy day. Filled with lots of contact. Shunt after shunt. And even a mannequin falling from a bridge to bring out a caution flag. This race had just about everything on Sunday. In the NASCAR Cup Series, the Worth 400 at Dover Motor Speedway on Sunday. Your winner, Denny Hamlin. And it was Hamlin's third win this year, all of them coming on short tracks, the 54th career win for Hamlin. That ties Lee Petty, 12th all-time in Cup Series history. Again, Hamlin, your winner. Larson, the points leader, had to settle for second after a real close finish. Martin Truex Jr. in third, but second in the points standings, dominated stage number one of the race. Kyle Busch, who won the pole, finished fourth in the 8 machine for Richard Childress Racing. Chase Elliott, running out the top five. Four of his last five finishes are top fives here in the NASCAR Cup Cup Series. Noah Gragson continues a strong streak after a career-best third-place finish at Talladega last week. His second straight top 10 brings home the 10 car for Stuart Haas in P6. Ryan Blaney, last year's champion in 7th. Alex Bowman, another strong run for the 48. He's in 8th. Daniel Hemric, after finding some luck and pit strategy, the 31 machine for Colic Racing brings home the second straight top 10. Good job, Daniel Hemric. And Ty Gibbs rented out the top 10 for Joe Gibbs Racing, the 54 machine. Getting close, but no cigar for Kyle Larson, who was so close to winning the race. We'll be talking about it later on in this show. William Byron, alongside Christopher Bell and Bubba Wallace, wrecked out with about 71 laps to go, clanging into each other off of turn number 2 into the inside wall. Three contenders all day. Also in for the injured Eric Jones, who just announced today that he should be back after Kansas this upcoming weekend. Corey Heim, so strong in the Craftsman Truck Series this year, finished 25th solidly in his NASCAR Cup Series debut in the 43 for Legacy Motor Club. Now onto the High Limit Racing Series. Not much to talk about here, as it was supposed to race at 81 Speedway in Park City, Kansas on Wednesday, just a day ago, but the race was canceled due to severe storms. Again, officials actively seeking a potential makeup date. It's going to work for all parties, but the High Limit Racing Series supposed to race yesterday and was not able to due to some severe storms. Obviously, in the Midwest this past week, things got pretty ugly. The World of Outlaws at Knoxville Raceway in Knoxville, Iowa, Friday and Saturday for the World of Outlaws Premier Chevy Dealers Clash. Both those races canceled due to weather, and the Outlaws' first springtime stop since 2012 in the sprint car capital of the world. Going to have to wait till June 14th and 15th. That's when everything got pushed back to. But Jacksonville Speedway, Jacksonville, Illinois, just a night ago, Wednesday night, for the World of Outlaws Hy-Vee Perks 40. And it was David Gravel winning in an absolute thriller. Led only 6 of the 35 laps of the A-Main. Bested Kyle Larson. They were throwing haymakers at each other all race long. Larson led 29 of 35 laps of the A-Main, but it was David Gravel coming up on top. Buddy Kofoy started on pole of the race, finished P3. Again, David Gravel up to a series best 4 victories in 2024, his 92nd win of his career in the World of Outlaws. Broke a tie with Brad Sweet, champion last year, to give him sole possession of 9th all-time on the all-time win list. And the victory was also Gravel's first at Jacksonville, making it the 47th different track he's won at in the World of Outlaws. We'll take a break here on Speed Zone, and when we come back, it's time for What's Up This Week, my favorite segment of the show, where I get to tell you, the listener, what the heck is up this week in the world of racing. Stay tuned here on Speed Zone.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Deb. I thought you were the radon test guys.
The who test guys?
Didn't you see the paper Sunday? The Surgeon General issued another lung cancer warning.
Oh, like the cigarette warning?
Yeah. They're saying we have to get our houses tested for radon.
I don't smell any radon in my house.
That's because radon is an odorless, colorless, tasteless gas that seeps into your house from underground.
Does this story have a happy ending?
Yeah. You'll be a lot happier once you get your house tested.
Learn more. Visit the EPA at epa.gov/radon. That's epa.gov/radon.
What's up this week? And what is up this week in the world of racing? Welcome back to Speed Zone. Time for this segment of the show again. What's up this week? Got racing Friday. Also got a lot of racing on Saturday, Sunday, and even next Wednesday. We're covering everything week because we'll be back next Thursday. Got baseball next Wednesday night here on the Cutting Edge Sports Radio Network. So this show going to air on Thursday night again next week before we return to a normal Wednesday slate and the weeks following that. But enough of that. We'll jump right back into what's up this week, beginning with Friday, night one in the World of Outlaws at the hashtag Let's Race 2. I did not name the race that way. The World of Outlaws did again. The hashtag Let's Race 2 at Eldora Speedway at Rossburg in Rossburg, Ohio. That'll be on Dirt Vision Friday night. And also, a lot of dirt racing action. The Kubota High Limit Racing Series will be at Lakeside Speedway, Kansas City, Kansas, for night one of the Heartland of America Showdown. That'll be on Flow Racing Friday night. Also, Friday night, the Z-Max Cars Tour Late Model Stock Cars and the Pro Late Models going to be at Ace Speedway in Altima Hall, North Carolina, for the Accelerated GFX.com 285. That'll be at 8 p.m. on Flow Racing. Pro Late Model is going to race first for 100 laps, and then the Late Model Stock Car is going to race next and last of the night in between all the different events happening at Ace Speedway, different features happening that night at Ace. Late Model Stock Car is going to race for 125 laps. Saturday night, it's Star Wars night at Ona Speedway in Ona, West Virginia. It's third consecutive weekend of racing beginning at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. Again, fresh from an exciting, thrilling, whatever you want to say, Mountaineer 100 weekend this past Saturday. Ona's racers all want to end this three-race stretch of consecutive races strong. Ona's schedule going to shift to a more traditional every other week schedule for the remainder of the season. Classes racing going to be the late models, the modifieds, street stocks, the INEX Legend Car Pros, and the INEX Legend Car Semi-Pros, the U-Cars, and the Crown Vics all going to race again. Seven classes of racing this Saturday, if weather permits. Star Wars night at Ona Speedway. Bring out the family. It's going to be a fun night. The third consecutive weekend of racing at Ona Speedway to begin this 2024 season. In the 61st year, Ona Speedway has been here. The ARCA Menard Series at Kansas Speedway for the Tide 150 earlier on in Saturday. Racing began at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Motor Racing Network and Fox Sports 1 again for the ARCA Menard Series at Kansas Speedway. The NASCAR Wheel and Modified Series is at Monadnock. Monadnock Speedway for the Granite State Derby that'll be beginning at 6 p.m. on Flow Racing. That'll also be Saturday. The JEGS CRA All-Stars Tour back in action again at Anderson Speedway for the O'Reilly Auto Parts 100. Racing beginning at 7:30 p.m. on Flow Racing. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at Kansas Speedway for the Heart of America 200. Racing beginning at 8 p.m. at Kansas on the Motor Racing Network and Fox Sports 1 for the Craftsman Truck Series. A night 2 of 2 for the World of Outlaws at the hashtag Let's Race 2 at Eldora Speedway. Rossburg, Ohio once again on Dirt Vision. And the Kubota High Limit Racing Series again at Lakeside Speedway. Kansas City, Kansas, night 2 of 2. The Heartland of America Showdown also on Flow Racing. Plenty of racing going on, but if you plan on attending anything in person, again, Ona Speedway right here in the tri-state area. Sunday, the American-Canadian Tour, the ACT rather, is at Thunder Road International Speed Bowl in Barrie, Vermont for the 26th annual Community Bank 150 on Flow Racing. Again, that opens up racing on Sunday. Formula One is at Miami International Autodrome for the Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, coverage beginning at 4 p.m. on ABC if you want to watch on television. In the NASCAR Cup Series at Kansas Speedway for the Advent Health 400, racing beginning at 3 p.m. at Kansas Motor Speedway, or Kansas Speedway, rather, no motor in there. It is not an SMI track. Motor Racing Network, if you want to listen in through the airwaves, and Fox Sports 1, if you want to watch on the television. And then Wednesday of next week, the World of Outlaws going to take to the track for the World of Outlaws Federated Auto Parts Gettysburg Clash at Lincoln Speedway in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania. That race next Wednesday will be on Dirt Vision. So, after that, a lot of racing going on this weekend, and next week, too. A little bit of a preview with that World of Outlaws race next Wednesday. We'll take another break here on Speed Zone, and when we come back, it'll be the Racing Roundtable segment of the show, or myself, and we got a singular guest tonight. I won't spoil it until we come back. Going to talk a lot about NASCAR, Ona Speedway, and also a little bit about IndyCar 2 up next here on Speed Zone.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
If you don't want to listen, get your earplugs ready, because we're about to hear some high-octane debate. It's time for the Racing Roundtable, with your host Ben Cower and multiple guest panelists. Whew, now that that's over, who's at the table today? And who is at the table today? We only got one guest panelist tonight, but an absolute pleasure to have my boss, TJ Lane from Ona Speedway, is here on the show again. TJ, welcome back to the show. Pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to be back on. When you told me you just want me to come on, I was excited to be back on with it for sure.
All right, TJ, we're going to talk about a lot tonight. Let's dive into the first topic. And we'll start off tonight. I want people to learn about who you are, everything you do. I mean, you're a busy man. You work a normal day job, but also you're involved with the Midwest Modified Tour, everything at Ona Speedway. Who are you to the audience listening out there? I think people deserve to know, and you deserve to get your story out there. What's everything you got to juggle on a regular basis?
It's quite a bit of stuff. As I've told people before, with any short track, you know, it takes there's a lot of aspects to it. And, you know, with the NASCAR tracks, they have a staff of X amount of people to get to do it. With the short track, it's not that way. You know, how my week, you know, usually, you know, looks like on a race week. The biggest thing is I do all the PR and all the promotions. So I'm designing Facebook graphics. I'm writing, you know, event preview articles. Probably the, you know, getting all the Facebook posts out, I would say takes the most amount of time. I'm doing paid advertisements. So you know that takes a lot just with the time to do your copy, your design of the ad. So know what you want to promote and put out there with everything. And then with that, you know, there's phone calls and Facebook messages and text messages pretty much all day every day from people with questions and, you know, people needing stuff with the track. And, you know, then there's kind of a maintenance aspect part of it too with the track. Thankfully with a blacktop track, you don't have near as much that you have to do as opposed to like with the dirt track. But, you know, there's usually always, you know, some patching that needs done, you know, just minor things. And then of course, with the race day stuff, it's all of your, you know, it's all the operations with getting the event ran. So it's quite a bit. It's a full time job. Somebody, you know, I'm probably putting in, gosh, I would say at least 30 some hours a weekend with it, if not more, maybe closer to 40. And then so that's the racetrack side of things. And then we don't race every week at the track. So on off weekends, I'm usually traveling with the Midwest Modifieds Tour as the race director. And it's not maybe as much as being the track promoter is, because with the track promoter, you're in charge of everything, you're responsible for everything that's going on with that. With the Midwest Tour, you know, I'm up in the tower during any time that the modifieds are on track, and it's more, you know, talking to the drivers, you know, over the race super radios, helping make calls, you know, just kind of, you know, managing all the flow of the race. It can be stressful sometimes, especially if you know, like with any sport, with making calls, you know, sometimes they're not black and white. There's a gray area involved, so you just try to be as consistent as possible. But it's cool. It's given me an opportunity to go to a lot of different short tracks across the country, and every time I'm at a racetrack, I'm watching and seeing what they're doing and seeing what we can bring back here to Ona.
That's I'll let Kyle Petty say it.
That's incredible.
That's a lot of work to go in every single week, and you're going between the Midwest Mod Tour, everything to do with Ona, again, through the socials, running all the previews, points, everything on the website side, and having to run all the race operations, too. And then even then, you work a normal day job, too, during all of that. That's so tough to balance all of that. And since you have gotten in this role with Ona, I guess, or now the full track promoter, again, you were working with Thomas Mays before, and then now undergoing all this, I guess, what have been the biggest changes from year one to year two?
I think probably, as far as with what I'm doing from year one to year two, with year one, the schedule was already set. Everything was almost already set and planned for the year, so it was more just kind of following along everything with that. For year two, I've just tried to step things up on with the fan experience. I think that's the key with everything. You know, we've got the family fun zone there. We've got all these promotions that we're doing to get the fans involved, and I feel like through 2 weeks, it's working. There's a lot of excitement at the track. I know you've seen it firsthand, Ben.
Oh yeah.
I think we've had great crowds the first 2 weeks, especially last week. That's the the biggest crowd that's been there in since 2021. So that's really cool with the economy the way it is. So we're just trying to do some different stuff, think outside of the box, and just, you know, trying to keep the fans involved with everything.
And I think one of the most exciting changes of this year was certainly the addition of the Crown Vicks class. It's only going to continue to grow, but for the fans at home, where did that idea come from to bring the Crown Vicks to Ona? Again, the inspiration of Ona really being a pioneer here in the upper, I guess, eastern coast, I guess. It's bigger down in Florida, but again, what was the story behind that?
So it goes back to what I was telling you with the Midwest Modified Tour, with going to these different tracks and seeing things. So, of course, with the Crown Vicks, I've watched races on Flow Racing, and I've seen some different tracks running them, but it never really hit until I went to a Midwest Mod race. It was in Indiana, Anderson Speedway, and you know, they were the biggest weekly class that Anderson had. They had 38 cars there. 38 Crown Vicks.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm sitting there watching them, you know, waiting for our races with the Midwest Tour. And, man, the crowd is up on their feet. They're cheering. They're getting loud. The racing is incredible. These guys are beating and banging, and they're keeping going. And I'm talking to the Anderson officials up in the tower during it, and they're like, yeah, that car right there, it hit head on the wall. Never even damaged it. It keeps on going. And just seeing how fast it grew there, because I know, you know, with Anderson, like pretty much every asphalt short track and dirt track now too, you're struggling with car counts. And I saw what that did to that place, because I was just there a couple years before for a Midwest Mod race, and there wasn't really nothing much of their, of their local stuff. And I come back this time, and their pits are plumb full, and it's because of the Crown Vicks. And I'm like, man, seeing the excitement that that's brought to that place, I just really felt strongly that if we brought it here, that it would do well. And, you know, we're off to a slow start with the car count-wise, which is expected. That's something that happens when you start a new class. This is not my first rodeo doing that. when I did dirt stuff, we were the first ones that brought in the Sport Mod class. And now, you know, we started we started with three cars in 2011 at Southern Ohio Speedway. And you look at it now, it's the biggest class at any dirt track in this region. So we just believe in it, that it's going to do well. And that race Saturday with them guys side by side for the lead for half of it, I think that sold that for a lot of people to want to get cars.
Let's jump right into it. Make that the next topic. Talking about everything that happened this past weekend in the Mountaineer 100 weekend, we had seven incredible features going on. So much exciting racing. TJ, as you were up there directing all these races going on, you got to experience it firsthand. Your thoughts, experiences from the weekend on all the classes that raced?
It was a great show. I know you've been around the track for a couple years now. You would probably have to say that's probably the most exciting night that we've had since you've been there.
Really?
You know, I give it up to the drivers. You know, the Ona Speedway drivers are such talented drivers, and they really delivered and put on a great show. When we moved the Mountaineer race from the traditional fall date to the spring, it's something I caught some heat on, because I'm the first person that's done that, that's moved it from the fall to the spring.
Yep.
So, you know, I knew we wouldn't get near kind of the out-of-town cars with it, but I felt like you'd have a lot better vibe, because in late fall it's cold, there's all these other things going on, so I felt like we would get a good crowd and have a good vibe. And you know, right from the start that night with the big crowd, the vibe was great.
The energy was there.
The energy was there, yes.
It was packed, and I mean, obviously last October, it's not necessarily a shame, but then again, putting on, it's the biggest race weekend of the year, the Mountaineer 100. You got all these guys coming in from all over to put on a great show, and then with the rough weather, and then like Marshall football in the region too. I mean, people are not able to come out like they are right now, and then you move the show up to the spring, and then people, it was flourishing. The stands were full. It was. The energy was there, as you were saying.
Yeah, and what's so cool about that is, you know, like you said, it's our biggest race, and if we're doing it in the fall and there's nobody there to watch it, what good are we really doing with it? But with this, we had run it the first part of the year. There was a big crowd. A lot of people had never been there before. You know what? With that excitement, what's everybody talking about? They can't wait till this week to get back there. So I think that'll help us build as the year goes on. And, you know, like I said, I think the racing was great, and I think it kind of led on to a lot of our rule changes this year. We brought in the halfway cautions. It was controversial at first. Everybody says you're going to tear up cars, but we haven't had one accident this year as a result of them. But it's really added a lot of strategy to it. You saw with the street stocks making it a three-stage race.
Mm-hmm.
It really, there was only six cars, which was not the car count we wanted, but nobody ever thinks
put on
about
a great
that
show.
Or talks about it, because it was incredible.
Six cars under a blanket the entire time. For 50 laps. And they were all duking it out for the win. I mean, you had Marty Powers was using that stage caution, used it right at the end because Kenny Chapman slipped up on the middle of three and four, and then Kenny got stuck his nose under there and finally was able to get in front of him, and then just was able to just at least mirror drive close, because not like Kenny Chapman was right behind or wasn't not right behind him the rest of the race. But, I mean, you had the street stocks putting on a great show. Jake Keaton, again, for the late mods, is so dominant this season. But then again, great race in the mid-pack, too. Had a lot of cars. Biggest field in the late models in a little while. Eight cars coming in, and had a solid field in the mid-pack. Joe Fye, who's third in the standings, had a little problem earlier, but again, Tyler Johnson, Carson Lucas, Jacob Bell all racing in the mid-pack there, putting on a great show. And then in the semi-pros, a bit of a chaotic race, but the Dunlaps, who missed the first race, were up there racing for it. You had Nate Dunlap, who's a straight rookie this year, running the high groove, maybe not where you want to start running, but then again, Dunlap also up there. You had the Brothertons putting on a good show, and then got unfortunately caught up in a wreck there a little bit. And then obviously Kenny McComas, who's a first-time winner just a weekend ago, or at least 2 weeks ago now at this point, was also up there in the fray. The semi-pros know how to spin and win better than anybody.
Yeah,
they put on
sure.
one heck of a show. And then the Legend Car Pros again, Jason Garrett just continues to, that car is just lightning fast this year. But the racing for right behind him, I mean, Jake Keaton, make sure that he works for the trophy every single night. Then you got Tyler Martin, Dale Garrett back there, hard charging for fourth and third. And then, again, solid racing in the Legend Pros. And then the U-Cars, Nick Fowler. I don't think you could win in any cooler fashion outside of a photo finish. I mean, Fowler, in a similar situation almost to the way I immediately thought of it was Iowa 2011 with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Carl Edwards. Again, Nick Fowler is out front, but not by much over Jay Workman. Then he blows the motor, money shifts it off the final corner, coming to the finish, and Workman almost pulled out, almost got him, but Nick Fowler blows the motor coming to the finish. That was cool, and also Fowler, so quick, at least to start this season, he was the pole winner before the